Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Not Boring Business Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Redman, founder of Air 5. This is not suits and handshakes business. This is not boring business. Let's go. Before we jump into the show today, I got a great guest, motivational speaker. I don't know. That's how I always see Dave, as a motivational speaker, but he's way more than that. He was voted 2006 one of the best keynoters of 2016 by Forbes. Runs a company, Sports One Marketing. Pretty sure I got that correct. I filmed this a while ago. We recorded this a while ago. I went down to Orange County, where Dave's office is, and I had two interviews because I want to take advantage or optimize my time while I'm down there, and because it's a little drive from me here in LA. And as I did it, I was posed with two situations that I wanted to bring up, which were the first interview was something funny. It was like just another guy like me hustling, killing it in his own right. Went there, set up the interview. I had a little microphone, this little Blue Yeti microphone, and we were like looking for a conference room and to film it because we didn't really have a place. And once we went down a couple hallways, we're like, oh, where could we do this? And we found this conference room, and it was like the best of what they had. Yet it was echoey, and I mean, like, the walls were paper thin. And then in the back of the conference room, there was like a bathroom, and the bathroom door was open. And it was like, this is obviously some makeshift meeting area, right? And so we did the interview, and it was good, but the audio wasn't quite as great, which is why I haven't aired it or anything. So that was experience one. It was just me and him in the makeshift conference room. And then I go to my next meeting, my next interview with Dave. And Dave, I went there. He had his secretary there, executive assistant, whatever you call it, admin, right? I walk up. Hey, interview here, Dave Meltzer, blah, 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 blah. Okay, yeah, sit down. His assistant, again, so there were a bunch of people there. One person came down, said, hey, Jeremy, yep, Dave's ready for you. Dave is ready for me, right? This was great. So went up, Bradley, the guy who I originally connected with. Thanks, Bradley, for all your help, man. You're the best. Walked up the stairs. Greeted by another person. They all had their shit together, right? walked into Dave's office, and there were like three or four floodlights, right? Like LED lights with proper diffusion, and there were two or three red cameras. What it seemed like, at least they were like DSLRs. I think they were more impressive. But I sit down, and they're getting the mics ready, and I know they're like, those mics are like $400 or $500 a piece. And right now I'm thinking, I need a guy to put my microphone on my desk. Thinking, oh my God, like, he's attaching the boom to the desks. And I'm like, Dave's sitting there opening mail, and I'm like, it was one of the coolest / most different experiences that I've ever had, right? Like in my podcasting journey, video journey, business journey, whatever have you. And I was sitting there like, my God, I'm in this atmosphere. And I was like almost brought back, like, can I be myself in this atmosphere, right? I'm on his turf, keep in mind. Right? So like, can I be exactly who I am? Am I going to shock all these people? I kind of played it conservative, right? Again, on his turf, So, like, and I'm just thinking this whole time, they've got cameras running, there's a documentary going. Dave, find out, I mean, well, or find out or found it out, but he has a, like a Daily Dave. I don't know, maybe he doesn't call it Daily Dave. I'm just thinking about the Daily V that Gary Vaynerchuk does. But he has a similar thing, and I really like a lot of his content, and he's killing it. So, well, the moral of this story is, what room do I most feel comfortable in, right? Or do I want to be in? And I always think about this quote that is, I think it's from Mad Men, season one, where it's said that a man is whatever room he is in. And I love that so much that I believe, coming back to it, I belong in both of those rooms. Both the makeshift conference room and the huge media room with a dozen people in and four different cameras and lights, right? I believe I never want to get big enough to where I don't fit in the makeshift conference room. I always want to take the makeshift conference room meetings. So that is my story. I hope you love what's going on in this interview between Dave and I. We sit down and discuss our strategies on meetings and taking coffee for meetings. I love taking coffee for meetings. Dave wrote an article in Entrepreneur that said why he doesn't take coffee meetings. The same week, I got published in an article from Entrepreneur that was why I drove 6 hours for a coffee meeting. So that's why we kind of sat down and did this. Dave is an amazing guy. His team is amazing. Look him up, David Meltzer, davemeltzer.com. You'll find him. Dave Meltzer. We'll put it up in the show notes. You're amazing, man. Your team's amazing. This is coming out late, but it is amazing. I don't know how many times I gotta say amazing. So check it out. Dave, nice to meet you. Thank you for being on Not Boring Business.
It is not boring having you here, so this is awesome.
I made the drive just for you. It's a little weird being in your office, but I love it. Thank you so much for hosting me.
Less than 6 hours to get here?
We will get into that. I love it. Thank you so much. Give you a little introduction to the Not Boring Nation, a little background on yourself.
Yeah, so my name's Dave Meltzer. I used to run the most notable sports agency in the world called Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. Before that, I actually ran Samsung's first phone division called the PC-E phone. So Lee, most people think, hired me because I was a great lawyer. I'm actually really a bad lawyer. He hired me because of my technology background. He saw the future of sports and technology. And as a visionary, he's like, this is the guy I want to run the next future of my illustrious agency. 7 years ago, though, Warren Moon, Hall of Fame quarterback, and I, we spun off our own marketing arm. And so that's Sports One Marketing. And today we run that company. I have my own books. I speak around the world. Have my own podcast, which I want to have you on, of course.
Cool,
called The Playbook with Entrepreneur Magazine. And the most exciting thing going on is I'm launching a TV show next week called The Elevator Pitch with Sprint, Indiegogo, and it's Entrepreneur Magazine Network's first original content and going up digital. We got picked up for a few more years, so cool. 12 episodes coming out.
Absolutely. So that's like a, I think I saw a promo for that. That's like an elevator pitch where they're riding in an elevator, right?
Shark Tank on with Soul.
I think I like that. How does that differ from, I think, the Planet of the Apps, I think?
Yeah. So ours are actually, you know, we fund any type of company. And the cool thing is the judges all have to agree. We're there to support the entrepreneur. Even if we don't fund them, they have Indiegogo featuring them so the crowd can fund them. So like it has a you be the judge type of nuance to it.
Oh, I like that so much. How long have you been involved with that? Like,
this is our first year. So I've just been blessed to be the chief judge as a producer for the show. And the good part of it is it's been, like I said, it's well sponsored and picked up. So you can't ask any more from my
Absolutely.
First TV show.
I'm sure that's going to get a lot of traction.
I hope, with all the people behind it, I hope so.
Now, I guess that dovetails kind of interestingly with our entrepreneur articles that we kind of combated with.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I first discovered you when you launched your article, Why I Never Meet for Coffee. And I kind of had a visceral reaction, and I go, this is just like someone who's made it, who's got there, who's had his climb,
he's lost,
and who's forgotten that 21-year-old person.
Yeah, not at all.
And after I kind of thought about it, and I go, well, like he got the reaction out of me, right? Like he won. Like he won right there when he got that reaction.
You're wise beyond your years.
And I go, oh, like that's what we're in. We're in the reaction business. Now, is it true that you never meet for coffee? Does its coffee have a place? Does a coffee meeting have its place in the networking world to you? Or
yeah, so that's a great point. So what I'm trying to convey is that the time it takes to go somewhere to meet somewhere to someone, right? Now, I will go to a coffee place,
sure,
but I hold court. And I also want to talk to you about driving 6 hours to a meeting if you're not with somebody else.
Sure.
You know, for me, I actually converted a car, and I know 21-year-olds can't do this, but it actually economically is the best thing I've ever done. I converted a car into an office so that I can be driven everywhere that I go, so that I can have internet, TV, phone. We have full sockets in there. So I'm not adverse to driving 6 hours to coffee, but I do it in a whole different way than most people with less situational knowledge and experience than me. Sure. What I was really trying to convey, though, is that a lot of people, they have this romantic idea about business, and they waste a lot of time.
Sure.
You know, imagine how many people, they'll offer me lunch, coffee, dinner, drinks, whatever. The amount of time it takes me to get to there, to order, to sit down, and then drive back, I could have 5 meetings. So I set a rule in my life that I try to manage the expectations of people. If you want a phone call with me, let's try to get it done in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now this is a straight business meeting. If we have a meeting, you're coming into my office or we're holding court somewhere else, or I come to your office, it has to be very efficient. 20 minutes is the time that I get. So if I go up to LA by you,
sure,
I'm going to work the 2 to 4 hours it takes me to get up to your office.
Yeah.
I'm going to work with internet, everything. I'm going to show up to your office, and I probably will have scheduled next to your office, wherever the coffee place is, 3 to 5 meetings to meet me there. So I'm going to utilize that time. So too many people just think, hey, let's meet for coffee. Like that's going to be the incentive. What incentivizes me and will incentivize others is how we can make money together, how we can help people together and have fun together. And it doesn't matter where we're meeting. And so I want you to think, you know, as you read my article, hey, going to coffee is fine, but am I using my time efficiently, effectively, and statistically successfully?
Sure. I think, and you make a good point, making use of the time that you're actually in the car. And I kind of use that for like audiobooks.
Good.
Right? Or podcasts.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the resources to have the van.
Which is fine, right?
So like, and I guess with me, it's more about reading the room, right? It's more about like reading the person and getting the context. And I came out with this thing a little while ago that like coffee is context. And
so explain that to me a little bit more. So, because it seems romantic to me, coffee is content.
Right.
What does that mean to you? So I'm an old guy.
Absolutely.
I really want to know what that means.
Yeah. So I think it's definitely for newer like networkers, like people that I go to networking all the time. Air 5 runs networking events up in LA. We have LA Tech Happy Hour and a lot of things that we have up there. And for me, I think that's kind of artificial, right? Okay. And I use that almost as a filter to meet people for coffee.
Okay.
Who here do I want to follow up with?
Yeah.
And when I find those people, I follow up with, and then I get more about them. So it's easy to talk with people in an email. It's easy to jump on a phone with someone. But when you're there and you're reading their body language and you're reading their air and their energy, God, that's just, it puts it in a whole new light.
No doubt.
So when you're meeting someone for the first time, I think it elevates that relationship from small to medium quickly.
And so you're talking about accessing data, right? And there's all these different points of access. And so if you're younger with less situational knowledge, so I've been through, you know, being almost 50 years old, I've been working in meetings longer than you've probably been alive. So I can read different data points and can do that without meeting in person.
Right.
But I highly suggest that meeting for coffee is great. Now, how many meetings do you have when you go to coffee?
How many coffee meetings do I have?
Yeah, when you set that one coffee, because going to coffee. Yeah. I hold court, right? If I'm going to go to coffee, I'm going to have hotels get mad at me. Let's just put it that way, because I literally will take over a lobby and I'll overbook people on purpose, especially in cities like LA and New York. Everyone's late or early because you can't time it, right? At least efficient people are, because they're trying to deal with time. So I'll literally, I won't even keep track of them. We went to New York. I probably had we counted 17 meetings, and they were all overlapped. Hmm. And people were talking to each other, though, creating, I created my own networking event.
Yeah, sure.
Right. But I agree with you. I can't get a read read without seeing somebody.
Right.
And so that is a progression. So when I elevate someone to not that first meeting, because my philosophy is this. Number one, stimulate interest. I know I'm good enough on the phone to stimulate interest. Two, transition interest. Usually we do that today with some sort of data, collateral information, videos, yeah. emails, whatever it may be. The sharing of the vision portion, I like to do in person for 20 minutes or less, but I schedule all of my sharing vision meetings in the same place on the same day if I have to travel. Now, even in my office, you'll see we're even overlapping your podcast. Number one, I convince you to come down here, which is, you know, a trick. Yeah. But two, I'm doing a documentary right behind you, right? And so literally the minute this ends, I'm going to start doing a documentary sure. overlapping. All of my meetings are in that order. So I thought, you know, I had the same reaction, and my team always brings up, this guy doesn't like that. It's so, you're enlightened because you actually thought about it sure. and did something. I just don't like the people that go, oh, I read this, and without any thought go, oh, he doesn't like face-to-face meetings.
Sure,
I'm
sure,
not
sure.
saying that.
Right, right. Yeah. Now, the intra-team, like a lot of people like on my team and a lot of people that I work with actually compare and contrast like a coffee meeting with a brainstorming session or a brain-picking session, which I don't necessarily value as much.
Yep.
If I'm interested in getting to know that person a little further, I think the coffee meeting is good. Now, with your companies, do you limit brainstorming meetings, like one-on-one meetings, or?
No, not at all. In fact, we have scheduled, yeah. you know, there's different things that we do. We have a Monday morning session. We just sure. got done with one actually today where we had lunch downstairs. So I encourage not only me, but then I've separated kind of our company into these leaders. So we have a mentoring program here. Sure. And so each of our employees has other employees and then mentees, which are interns below them, with total open door policy. So anyone that's your age, best way to learn is to actually feel that situational knowledge. What frustrates me most about what a lot of companies do with young people is they put them in an isolated situation instead of, you know, in here, this room's filled for a reason, because they'll learn more about what we're doing by being in here than listening to your podcast.
Sure.
Like how this was all set
yeah,
up.
Yeah, right.
What
right.
the real background is, the B-roll yeah, side.
Right.
And if you know, some of these kids want to be great PR people, or they yeah. want to be producers or whatever they want to be, no better way to learn than have you and I sit down and have an intellectual conversation
Absolutely.
About what we thought was a differing of opinion, but yeah. you and I actually agree 100%. And the best part about it is there's tons of people out there that are going to get visceral reactions both ways. And just really raising awareness and creating a conversation is the best part about what you and I do.
No, I think we both have the platform,
yeah.
right? And like you say, these people are watching the authenticity of this happen. So I think a lot of times, like in person, one-to-one, is there a spot where you think, like, were you networking differently at 23 than you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I wasn't as efficient. I was like
right.
you.
Yeah.
But I had less technology around me. I wish there was podcasts.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Right? We had audiobooks and a cassette.
Yeah.
And so completely different situation. But I was lucky when I first started working at your age, I had a bag phone and that thing was so inconsistent.
A bag phone?
Yeah. It was a bag that was a telephone and it was like 95 cents to $1.10 a minute. And so, you know, I try to take some phone calls in the car, but I've always had this objective of really being systematic. And this is one of the things why I wanted you to come down here is like, forget all the surface stuff that we're talking sure. about. The key to success is using time, it's bending time. And so I have this philosophy. It used to be called the power of 64. So take an average 8-hour day. If I can teach you to be twice as efficient with your 8 hours, you now have a 16-hour day. If I can teach you to be twice as effective with that hour, with those hours, you now have a 32-hour day. If I can teach you to be twice as statistically successful, meaning you're having a higher closing
sure.
rate, you yeah. now have a 64-hour day.
Now, doesn't that sound also romantic, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. But I think there's math behind it,
yeah.
which whether proven
backed
or not,
backed by data.
Yeah.
Right, right,
right.
Right.
Yeah. So it's backed by data. Even more, which gets really romantic and woo-woo, is I believe that focus or intention, as you know, I'm kind of a spiritual guy, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of
I've dug in a little
Judah
bit.
Buddha.
Yeah.
I believe in energy and vibration.
Love it. Love it.
The coolest thing about what I do, and a lot of young people agree with me, is I believe that the power of intention, that focus, can take that 64-hour day or wherever you fall within the scale of mathematics of how productive you are in a day, and the power of intention exponentially creates productivity.
Yeah.
Everybody has the same 24 hours. There's two things you want to look at in those 24 hours, and it applies to your 6-hour drive to coffee sure. and going to coffee. How productive are you and how accessible are you? Now, there's two sides to accessibility, not just you being accessible to the people you want to meet. It's the ability to access information,
mm-hmm.
right? Those are the two right. sides of how able am I to access information? So everything to me is on those two elements, one, productivity, two, accessibility. And that's what really intrigued me about you driving 6 hours was I wanted to find out how productive and accessible you were
sure.
in that journey, which I was fine with. But for me, I'm most productive and accessible today utilizing the systems that I have created and are evolving and improve upon every day. I don't have perfection. I have progress.
Sure. I think that's very important because every day I ask myself, did I make progress today?
Good.
And I actually will not sleep if I have not made progress. So if I'm staying up and I'll go to bed at 10 o'clock if I'm tired and I know that I've made progress, I think that's a good mindset.
Great mind. I had a guy, life coach today, that asked me that exact question. You know, I have him being focused on three priorities in his life, and one's meditation. And he said, first week went well, and then life started happening, and yeah. it dropped to the wayside. And I said, that's because you're not prioritizing it. You prioritize productivity. You're not going to bed until you're progressing.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Which is awesome.
Oh, I appreciate that so much. Yeah. No, I get it. Love it. Thank you so much for your time. David Meltzer, everyone. Not Boring Nation. Check him out. See you later.